All right, welcome back to the program. Vancouver Province columnist Mike Smith here with you today, filling in for Simi. Money indeed. That's what we're going to talk about in this segment of the show, specifically Canadian consumer debt still at near record levels in this country. New report out from Statistics Canada said this morning that Canadian household debt as a share of their income actually went down a tiny little bit in the first quarter of this year, but still remaining at near record highs. A lot of people are just overextended on things like credit cards. And there's a lot of warning signs out there that people should pay attention to this. If you've got a lot of big credit card debt, you got a lot of other kind of debt, especially if the interest rates change, you could find yourself in trouble. When I was reading some of the reports about this StatsCan survey this morning, it was bringing back some bad memories for me, because I remember when I was a young man, I was working at a minimum wage job at one point. That was the problem. You know, I wasn't making enough money. I maxed out my credit cards. That was bad. I actually had two credit cards, and both of them were maxed out. Now, how embarrassing is that when you're at a store or a restaurant and your credit card gets declined? That was brutal. I actually had to deal with that. And one of the big problems was I wasn't making a whole lot of money, but I also had big student loans at the time. So it was a problem. I ended up going and getting a loan from the bank, kind of a debt consolidation loan, get a lower interest loan. And then, of course, as you go on in life, you get a better job, you start making a bit more money, things kind of stabilize. But man, I know a lot of people who've gotten in trouble with credit card debt and that kind of thing. And so we want to talk about that in this segment of the show, especially with these new statistics coming out today. My guest is Blair Manton. He is the Senior Vice President of Sands and Associates. I'm very pleased to welcome to the show. Hey, Blair.
Oh, hey, Mike. My pleasure to be here.
Thanks a lot for coming on. So what do you think about these numbers? We still got pretty close to record high consumer debt in the country. I suppose it's not a surprise to you, right? Because you kind of specialize in this stuff.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. Nothing's a surprise at all. You know, it's record highs, and, you know, it went down, I think, you know, by 0.3 percent. You know, it's such a minimal change. You know, to me, nothing is trending in the right direction as of now. You know, we're still very overextended. And I think, you know, what I hear clients say every day when I see them is, you know, debt has just become a way of life. You know, it's just something, it seems everybody is in debt these days. And a lot of folks, I think they will have a tough time if the interest rates do escalate.
Okay, taking a look at the Statistics Canada report that came out today, Blair, it says the ratio of debt to disposable income. So I guess this is how much you owe compared to how much you earn, right? And it works out to 166.9. So that means basically that for every dollar that you got coming in, for every dollar you make in disposable income, the average Canadian owes $1.67.
Yeah, it's pretty scary stuff. And, you know, if you were to think, you know, a very good middle-class salary of $50,000, well, the equivalent of that is a $50,000 salary, but $83,000 of debt. That's, you know, more than that person would reasonably be able to service.
Right, and that's average. There's a lot of people who are in deeper than that.
Oh, right? Exactly. Yeah. Often some of the clients that I sit down with, you know, I'll see maybe they're earning, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 in a year, but the credit card debts, you know, are $60,000 or $70,000 or more.
So they can
get very, very out of whack. And, you know, that the things you were mentioning, Mike, from your experience, you know, those feelings people take to heart. You know, they're very despondent. They feel hopeless. They just don't know what to do when they find themselves in debt.
Yeah, can you imagine owing $60,000 or $70,000 on a credit card, especially the way they whack you with interest charges on a credit card? That's brutal.
Oh, exactly, Mike. And I think a huge thing that tends to bring people through the door for us is now credit card companies, they have to disclose that if you only make the minimum payments, how long is it going to take you to pay off this debt? So I encourage folks to look at your credit card bills. I see people where it's 70 years, 100 years, 150 years of minimum payments, but it's making the point that if you're in a credit card debt, most of your payments are going to interest. You're not actually servicing the principal.
Right, because the rates are so high. What's the average credit card interest rate these days?
Oh, you know, you're lucky if you're getting under 20% a lot of cases, and store cards are usually higher than that, you know, high 20s quite often.
Right. Okay, so when people take a look at their debt, this StatsCan report, I know it adds up all kinds of debt, right? So it's not just credit card debt, but it also includes like a mortgage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So but isn't that kind of, that's secured debt though, right? I mean, if you got a house, a lot of people have owned, if you're lucky enough to own a house, the value of that asset's gone up a lot. So should you really worry about a mortgage debt?
Well, yeah, you're hitting on a really great point here, Mike, because, yeah, if you're one of the fortunate few that don't own a house in the Lower Mainland, the last few years have been very good to you, and that's, you know, essentially it's papered over any financial mistakes someone might have made. If they've owned a house, the equity gains have been bigger than usually what they, you know, what debt problems they might have had. But the challenge that I see is, you know, folks tend to, and a lot of folks that I see, tend to start using their home as a bit of an ATM, a bit of a bank machine, meaning that, you know, the house might have went up a lot, but if they've got a debt problem, they're continually pulling money out on home equity lines of credit and second mortgages. So it's not uncommon. Someone might have owned their house for 20 years but actually has very little equity because all the money has had to be pulled out over time to deal with debts and deal with overspending and a high cost of living here.
Right. Right. Why do people get in over their heads like this, do you think? I mean, you talk to clients every day. I mean, you must hear a lot of pretty sad stories. Is it just because, I don't know, people, we tend to live over above our means, we're spending too much money, or do people see those low interest rates and out there and think like, well, it's okay if I take on extra debt because the interest rates are so low?
Yeah, there's usually a combination of factors, and definitely the low interest rates are a factor here. But, you know, I think that the biggest point is that the cost of living has just escalated pretty massively in the last 20 or 30 years, but real wages really haven't kept up, and I've seen a lot of people are filling that gap with credit. So if I sit down with my clients, the first thing we do is we run through a budget, and a lot of the times, you know, even if we took all the debt payments away, the budget still doesn't work. There's still a mismatch of income versus expenses. So, you know, I find just a lack of budgeting and a lack of planning can be a bit of a challenge, but I think even a bigger factor is that a lot of people are operating with no safety net whatsoever. You know, the best practice is you've got 3 to 6 months of expenses in savings, so if and when those life events happen, like, you know, maybe you get sick or you're in between jobs, you've got some savings to sustain you through, but that just doesn't seem to be a fact of life anymore. People tend to rely on credit when something drastic happens, and it can spiral out of control.
And what are some of the more common mistakes that people make? I mean, I'm sure carrying a debt on a credit card is just a terrible thing to do, right, with that interest rate.
Yeah.
Carrying a balance on your credit. You should pay that. I mean, you should pay off your credit card balance every month if you can, but I guess a lot of people can't. But when you let that balance just sit there month after month, you're just getting hammered with that big interest rate.
Oh, exactly. You know, when the banks are charging you 20% interest, that debt's going to double every 3 years if you do nothing on it. So, you know, you've got a target that's moving away from you here. So, you know, that's the big challenge. I think, you know, one really destructive thing that I see people do when they can start to see they're not making ends meet is they start moving money around, and we tend to call it financial Tetris. So it's taking money, you know, a cash advance from one card to make a minimum payment on another that's going to free up a little bit of money on that card. And then suddenly you throw in some payday loans, which have proliferated in a huge way in the Lower Mainland. So, you know, I find people when you know, they know they're having a problem, they tend to flail around a little bit and actually incur more debt, and sometimes very expensive debt like payday loans.
Right. I guess the most common sense solution would be some sort of debt consolidation loan, right? If you can go to a bank and get a lower interest loan, pay off all your credit cards, and then get disciplined and try to get control of your life and your spending and pay that debt down and not rack up any more credit card debt, right? But do people, like, if people do that, do they just keep spending on their credit cards, though?
That can be the challenge. So, you know, first off, the consolidation loan is great if you're able to get it. But, you know, quite often the banks, unless you've got a house that's got a lot of equity in it or you've got, you know, a lot of net worth, banks aren't necessarily willing to give you a consolidation loan. So definitely the first thing to try is, yeah, can you bring down the interest rates on these debts by trying to consolidate? But sometimes that's just not possible. You know, some things you should never do is, you know, if you're thinking about cashing in RRSPs, you know, do a full stop right now. Those are fully protected. No one could ever take that from you. So I've seen people, you know, cash in their retirement to try to deal with their debt problems. I think that the biggest piece of advice, Mike, if I could give, is, you know, just talk to somebody and figure out what the options are that are available to you, because most people are shocked to know that they can actually reduce their credit card debt doing a proposal, or even if the worst case happens and they do a bankruptcy, it's not the end of their life. It's usually their rebirth and they start again.
Okay, I'll jump in there, Blair. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about this. I'm going to open the phone lines, too. So if you got any questions or comments about this, how do you save money? How do you prevent yourself from getting into debt month to month? How do you manage your credit cards? Maybe you got some tips or stories you'd like to share. Call me up on this. 604-280-9898 is the number to call. 604-280-9898, *9898 on your cell. Mike Smith in for Simi Sarah. Got your calls coming up. Stick around. All right, welcome back. Talking about record level consumer debt in Canada with my guest Blair Manton from Sands and Associates. They help people get out of debt. Taking your calls to him, 604-280-9898. 604-280-9898. Hey, Blair, just before we take a quick call, like, do you tell people to cut up their credit cards, or what should they do about that?
Yeah, definitely. So when we sit down with somebody, you know, it's kind of the first thing you do when you find yourself in a hole is you stop digging. So, you know, we've got to stop putting money on their credit cards. You know, essentially by law, if we help somebody restructure with a proposal and they're paying off, you know, a third of the debt or something like that, part of that proposal has to include that they surrender the credit cards and they start to live, you know, either on cash or with a secured credit card, which is a deposit-based card.
You ever heard someone say, put your credit card in your freezer?
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Somebody told me to do that once.
Yeah, but then you can get pretty quick with an ice pick if you want to make a
quick purchase. Well, that's the thing, you know, you just know it's there, so...
Yeah.
And even if you cut up your credit card, it's pretty easy to phone the credit card company to get another card, unless they've cut you off.
Oh, yeah. They'll express post one out to you pretty quick.
Yeah, sure. 604-280-9898 is the number to call. Let's go to Jazz on the open line. Hi, Jazz.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I know exactly what you guys are talking about. I had trouble with credit cards back in the day, and I really, being a millennial, I learned how hard it is to get out. But once I got out, what I started to do is pay myself first. So I don't care who I have to pay. I'm putting an X amount aside for myself. And what I usually do with that is go buy gold with it and put it away somewhere safe. And that gold has appreciated in value or held its value. And that's how I keep my savings for long term. And I find that it works out great.
How did you get out of debt in the first place?
Well, I ended up doing two jobs. And I got a job in the oil field, so I was fortunate enough to make a lot more money. But instead of putting myself back in debt with that extra money, I was like, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of people calling me saying, you owe this and that. I felt like I was working for everybody else except for myself. And that's how I got out. That is a very, very hard part, and it takes discipline. And right now, everybody's like, here, credit, take it.
Sure.
That's how the system works.
Okay, thank you. Jazz, thank you very much for the call. I'm glad you were able to get your finances under control there. You got to be disciplined, right, Blair? I mean, is that the toughest part? Got to change your life.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I think Jazz's comments there are right spot on. You know, unless you're putting yourself first, you know, saving for your retirement, saving for different things, you know, there's always going to be some different claim on your finances of everybody else that wants a piece of it. So I think what's implicit in what Jazz was saying, too, is he's got a budget. So he knows that he can afford to pay himself first and afford to pay for groceries and afford to pay for rent and so on and so forth. So, you know, even just operating within a budget forces you to make all those, you know, tough decisions.
Let's go to Ivan on the open line. Hi.
Hi.
Hi there, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I'm retired, fixing them just from our pensions, me and my wife. We have a line of credit. Right now it's up to $150,000. Our house is worth $650,000. But the interest rate, I'm scared the interest rate might go up and I might run into some trouble. Is there any way I can do anything?
What would you recommend to him, Blair?
Well, a little outside of my area of expertise, because definitely, you know, Ivan, he's in a situation where there's a big net worth here. Even after the debts are paid, there's still, you know, some money left over there. But I understand he clearly doesn't want to leave his house. I'm not an expert, but in reverse mortgages, that might be an option there where you're actually able to pull out, you know, some of the value of the house and then retain the house until you're ready to let it go. Or even just, you know, trying to get, you know, a second mortgage or something on it. I don't know of the income situation for Ivan. It sounds like it was just...
I get $40,000 a year.
Okay. So you might have the ability to make some payments. So I would start with a mortgage broker just to see what the options are to restructure there, but then also ask specifically about a reverse mortgage.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. And I know this is your area of expertise, Blair, so you get people coming to you. Where can people get more information on your services?
Yeah, so I'm part of Sands & Associates. We got 15 offices in the Lower Mainland, and the easiest way to find answers to your questions is to reach us online at sands-trustee.com, so sands-trustee, and we offer a free consultation. So anybody that's got questions, even if you are in a situation where you think you got enough to pay your debts, but you've just got, you know, concerns or questions, we're happy to offer a free consultation.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I appreciate it. That is Blair Manton, Senior Vice President of Sands & Associates. Thanks a lot for all your calls. Phone me on the Buzz line at any time, but anything you hear on the show today, 604-331-BUZZ, 604-331-2899. We got your news coming up here at the top of the hour and then more. This is Mike Smith in for Simi Sarah today. Stick around.
This is News Talk 980 CKNW. Vancouver's News, Vancouver's Talk.